Thanks for tuning in to this message from the Los Altos Grace Brethren Church. We hope this will be an encouragement to you. You can find out more messages and more about our church at www.lagbc.org.
It has been a crazy, crazy week in Jerusalem, the man explained to his other two companions. Just a week ago, there was an impromptu parade. It was an exciting moment. Many of us were gathered along the road and were buzzing with excitement. Riding up into the city on a donkey was a man who certainly was a prophet. Over the last several years, his reputation had grown, and it had grown. The stuff he taught was truly inspiring and not like any of our boring rabbis' teachings. He hung out with anyone, even with those who drank too much and who slept around. Cleo and I always enjoyed being with him at the table, as he would smile and laugh and ask us such thoughtful questions. He was always genuine, whether he was just talking to you or to the large crowds that had begun to follow him around from place to place. He could bring light to the truth of the scriptures in ways that baffled even our best rabbis at the temple. On top of that, Jesus of Nazareth did many extraordinary things. He helped some of our fishermen friends get their largest catch ever. In fact, it ripped their nets. He took a young boy's sack lunch and multiplied it to feed thousands and thousands of people. He helped a paralyzed man walk again and a blind man to see. He even relieved several people from evil spirits that had haunted them for years. Through his amazing healing power, a 12-year-old girl was saved from dying. And just a few weeks ago, from our friends Mary and Martha, we heard that their brother, one of Jesus' own friends, was brought back to life after having died from a bad, bad sickness. Wow, what a guy. Even though Jesus did so many amazing things and was such an amazing man of God, he and his influence threatened our religious leaders. Our leaders handed him over to the Roman government for treason as one who claimed to be king. Jesus was sentenced to death and executed immediately after being sentenced. It all happened so quickly. It started on Thursday night, late in the evening when they found him, and Jesus was dead on Friday. It was a brutal death by crucifixion, unfair and uncivil in so many ways. Both Cleo and I had hoped that Jesus was the one. We had hoped that he would be the Messiah that had been promised for years and years to our Jewish ancestors. So much of what he did matches what the Messiah would be like. We were hoping that Jesus would be the one, but that hope was dashed by his death on Friday. Our hope has continued to evaporate over these last 3 days. There is something strange going on, though. A few of our friends went to that grave this morning, but they didn't find his body. These women then came back and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the grave as well, and they found it just as the women had said. Just his burial clothes were there, but they didn't see Jesus. Sir, I'm so sorry to overwhelm you with all of this, but Cleo and I have been really depressed as we've been processing all of this as we're walking on this long road back to our village. You did ask us what things were going on in Jerusalem as you joined our conversation here along the road. The man who had just recently joined them on their walk toward the village actually challenged them very boldly. He said, "How foolish you are! How slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken! Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? Remember back to what the prophet Micah said, 'But you, city of Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times.' Wasn't this true of Jesus of Nazareth? Wasn't he not so much of Nazareth, but actually Jesus of Bethlehem? And remember back to Yahweh, Jehovah, our God. Didn't he actually tell our forefather Moses these words? 'I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen, like you. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak them, all that I command them.' Moses received this forecast from God about the Messiah being like him, being one who would tell God's words. And yet being a common man, a countryman, if you will, maybe one even from Nazareth. But he would have the words of God. And think about the prophet Isaiah as well. He spoke many things about the Messiah that seemed to parallel the life of Jesus. Isaiah wrote that the Messiah was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering, familiar with pain. I know this doesn't sound like how you think of the Messiah, but doesn't this sound like what happened to Jesus? Isaiah went on, "Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering, and yet we considered him punished by God. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds we are healed." That's talking about the Messiah. The Messiah was going to have wounds. He was going to be punished. He was going to bear our iniquities. Isaiah went on and said, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Don't you see that the Messiah had to suffer much to actually fulfill what the prophet said? Cleo and his friend, after being chastised, listened intently as they continued to walk along the way. It was like this man had some inside information on this stuff about the Messiah. He had to be some sort of rabbi or teacher, they assumed. This conversation continued as they walked together. Soon they were approaching their village in Emmaus, and it was getting late in the afternoon. After the 7-mile walk, they were getting quite tired. Cleo and his friend invited this teacher to have dinner with them. He seemed like he was going further, but they invited him to have at least a meal. Cleo convinced him to join by joking with him that you got to eat somewhere to keep going farther. You might as well eat with us. So the three strolled into the village of Emmaus and then up to Cleo's house. Relieved from walking in the heat, they washed up from their journey and sat down to recoup their energy at the evening meal. At the table, Cleo said to the teacher, "Would you bless this meal in prayer for us?" And the teacher graciously did. After they prayed and the teacher picked up the basket of bread and started to pass it around the table, Cleo and his friend were looking at the teacher, and all of a sudden they realized. Suddenly they recognized, is that really Jesus? And they looked at one another and they said, "That's Jesus." And as they turned to look back around, Jesus had disappeared. So they jumped up from the table and they ran outside and they said, "Jesus, where are you? Jesus, where are you?" They couldn't find him. They quickly went back inside and said, "Is he hiding in here somewhere?" They couldn't find Jesus. And so Cleo joked, "Well, we were at the table. We got to get eating before we can go back and tell the rest." So they quickly shoved some food in their mouths and headed quickly back to Jerusalem. I've been telling you a little story, a retelling, a remix of Luke chapter 24, the story of two men who walked along the road to Emmaus. If you join me there in Luke chapter 24, I'd like to continue the story in verse 23, in verse 33. As they walked back, they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened up the scripture?" Verse 33 then says, "They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem." Cleo probably made him have some food before they went back because he liked to eat. "They found the 11 and those with them and assembled together saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.'" So the 11 were back in this room in Jerusalem, and they were saying, "Guess what? It is true that the Lord is risen. We do believe this. The Lord has appeared to Simon Peter." And then these two men, Cleo and his friend, Cleopas in the longer version, busted into the room, and they began to tell about what happened on the way, how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood with them and said, peace be with you. So now Jesus hadn't just appeared to these men, but he showed up in the room and he says, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. He wasn't a ghost, although he did a ghostly type thing and disappeared from the dinner table. But in his resurrected body, in the body that Jesus took on that's going to last forever, he still had nail holes in his hands, and he had a spear mark in his side, and he had holes in his feet. And the disciples in this room were like, how did he just appear? We can't hardly believe this. We were saying just a minute ago, he's alive, but now he's here. How does this work? They were startled and frightened. And yet when they saw his hands and his feet, they didn't believe it. But because of joy and amazement, they were joyful and amazed. This was a milieu of emotions that maybe has never been felt on a planet before. Excitement, fear, trying to figure it out, trying to put the pieces together. And then Jesus says something that just cracks me up, to be honest. He asked them, do you have anything here to eat? See, Jesus broke bread and then he took off. He hadn't eaten. It had been a long day, right? He rose from the dead. He sat down at the table, and as he revealed himself to Cleopas and his friend, he vamoosed. He got out of town. He appeared and then he poofed. And yet Jesus, in this physical body that he still had, needed to eat something. So if you like lunch, guess what? Jesus does too. And that's going to be part of our future. That's going to be part of what we enjoy in the future. And he took it and he ate it in their presence. And that had to baffle them a little bit. Because, right? I mean, he was dead. Just, you know, this is crazy. How can Jesus be eating with us? So after he got done eating, he said to them, verse 44, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. So Jesus appears to them, has a bite to eat, and then he says, guess what? What I've been talking to you about all these last 3.5 years, about how the Messiah has to come and how he has to fulfill all of this stuff from the Old Testament, from the Jewish history, this stuff, guess what? I fulfill it. And in the same way that he opened the minds of Cleopas and his friend on the road to Emmaus, Jesus opened the minds of his disciples to help them to see the scriptures. Now, it wasn't that they didn't know the scriptures. They had actually worked hard at knowing the Old Testament. Many of them had it memorized. Now, these weren't educated men, so they probably didn't have as much memorized as the spiritual leaders of their day. But these guys knew the scripture. I'd like to encourage you to know the scripture, too. Sometimes the light bulb won't come on quite yet. But it's worth working at, because someday, at some point, Jesus will turn on the light bulb, and guess what? It will all make sense. It will all click right into place how it's supposed to. It's worth being devoted to the scriptures, because he can help it open our minds and understand the scriptures. He said, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And that's what we celebrate today. But then he says a little bit more. He says, that isn't the end, but there's more. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations. And we're actually sitting in a room listening to the name of Jesus in kind of fulfillment of that prophecy, right? All the nations. I don't know how many of us are Jewish, but many of us aren't. And this text says that it will be preached to all the nations. That means all the Gentiles, all the non-Jews. pretty exciting that what Jesus said right here has made itself present today. The repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations. That repentance of sin is just what Mike was talking about earlier in our service today, where he said, repentance of sin says, I can't make my life right with God, but God, if you're there and you sent Jesus to pay the way for my sins, I say, yes, I want to follow you. I say, yes, I want to follow you. And then he challenges the disciples who are gathered there, and he says in verse 48, you are witnesses of these things. You see the nail prints in my hands. You see the nail hole in my feet. You see the spear hole in my side. You are witnesses of these things. And I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power on high. Now, next week, we're going to talk about that part. This is the end of Luke's gospel, his good news that he writes about the story of Jesus Christ. What he starts in his next volume in the book of Acts is a story about the church. And we're gonna talk about that next week. But I want to actually kind of highlight a couple things from this passage for us as we walk out of here on Resurrection Sunday morning. The first is this, that Jesus is always close to us, yet we don't always see him. Jesus was right there with Cleopas and his friend, but he wasn't recognized by them. Now, this story is a little bit unique in the fact that it seems to hint that God had somehow veiled their eyes so they couldn't recognize him. We don't know how all that worked. Maybe just because they were walking side by side and, you know, maybe Jesus had his prayer shawl pulled up, and maybe because there were tears in their eyes as they were trying to sort all this out, they were sort of clouded as well. But the truth is that Jesus is always close to us. There's a passage in Acts that says that God moves people where he wills so that people will reach out and find him, even though he's not very far from each one of us. And I've seen this happen in a variety of ways. You know that when you move somewhere else, you are sort of anxious about how, you know, what grocery store am I going to go to? You know, where, you know, how can I make friends there and all that sort of thing. People are open to learning about God when they move to a new place. And the book of Acts seems to say that God shuffles the deck. God moves people where he wills so that people will reach out and find him, even though he's not far from them. We had this situation when we were living in Columbus. There was a gal who went to the Ohio State University who moved there from China. Her name was Jen Wu. And she moved to a house that was part of the people in our church family. And she there said, you guys have Bibles here? Let me read that Bible. They don't let me have one of those in my country. And so she began to read the Bible, and she began to talk with some of the people in our church about, well, who was this God of the Bible? And what did he do? And who's this Jesus character? And guess what? Before, in about 6 months of her, she studied at Ohio State, but she also was studying the book of God, and she came to find Jesus. Now, God moved her across the ocean and into a house in Columbus, Ohio, so that she would know the gospel. But guess what happened then? Jen began to share via Skype and the phone with her boyfriend back home in China. Now, was God very far from her boyfriend in China? No. God wasn't very far from Jen when she was in China. But guess what? God moved her where he willed so that she would reach out and find him. The same is true in our lives. Sometimes we walk along and we don't recognize where God's at work in our lives. Part of what, you know, Pastor Phil's messages is always open your eyes, look to see where God, what God is doing and what his will is, and step into that. So from this journey on the road to Emmaus, I want us to remember that Jesus is always close, even though we don't always see him. Secondly, that Jesus has given us his truth and his word. Jesus didn't go and pull stories out of the air as he was explaining his messiahship to Cleopas and his friend. Jesus ran back to the scriptures and said, this is what is meant here. This is what is going on in the story of the Bible. And so I as I, you know, kind of exhorted you a few moments ago, it is worth learning this book. Some days it won't make a lot of sense. I admit that. I've had plenty of those days. But some days it will come alive in a way that is so crystal clear and so clicks into focus that you'll be, of course that's God. Of course that's God. And so maybe you have spent a long time in the book. Maybe you haven't. I encourage you, you know, as we've been encouraged, you know, this last week to read through the Gospel of Luke as the Passion series. I'd encourage you to pick it up and start in Acts, which is the next volume, the next part of the story. And join me as I read, you know, Acts. But know that the truth is found in the Scriptures. A third thing I'd want you to remember is Jesus is our companion and fellow traveler. I don't want to, you know, over... Sometimes there's a fear in which Christians have that if we make Jesus just our buddy, he doesn't have a right to tell us what to do in our lives. And I want to hold that in healthy respect. you know, God is God and he can do whatever he wants. And I admit that and I'm open to that. But isn't it encouraging that Jesus comes up to these two men who are wrestling through some of the hardest stuff of life, and he says, what are you thinking? Let's discuss this together. That's amazing. A God of all gods could actually just come in and say, shut up and listen to me. I'll tell you what's going on. You need to just get under this. But Jesus isn't like that. And he never is like that in the New Testament. When you look at the story of his life, certainly he tells truth and he tells stinging truths, mostly to the religious leaders who knew the Scriptures. But he's always there. The woman who's caught in adultery, does he treat her harshly? No, he doesn't. He actually says, you know, you who have sinned, who haven't sinned, cast the first stone. And guess what? The religious leaders drop their rocks and leave the scene because Jesus is the companion of those who are broken and downhearted. Maybe you're like, man, Jesus, I can't meet up to his standards. Jesus actually has pretty low standards. I mean, that's why he got railed in the day. He ran around with prostitutes and sinners and tax collectors and people who drank too much wine. That was who Jesus ran with. Because guess what? Those who are sick need a doctor. Not those who are healthy. Jesus came to rescue the least and the outcast. Jesus came to be their companion, to be a traveler together. Now, Jesus loves them enough to say, guess what? You can't keep on this path. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Guess what? There's a better path. There's a better way for your life. Join me. But Jesus wants to be our companion and our fellow traveler. And how do you get on that path? You say yes. Just as we've talked about, you say yes. I can't do it my own way. I have to give up my way and follow the way. Follow your way, Jesus. The last thing that I want to share with you today is Jesus is in the everyday with you. I kind of over-enhanced probably the eating part of this story. Just a little bit. But at the same time, it's right there, right? It's right there. Jesus said, I'm hungry. Jesus took from the table bread and wine. Now, maybe not at every meal you have wine, but you typically have something to drink at every meal, and you have some sort of bread. It might be a fajita, or it might be a, you know, it might be a tortilla, or, you know, it might be a roll. But I think sometimes we over-spiritualize the bread and the cup. We had a great chance this past week to celebrate that together. But I think Jesus took these common elements of our everyday life. He took walking on the road and he turned it into a spiritual experience with Cleo and his friend. Jesus is a companion that wants to travel with us, not just in these on the mountain high moments with him, but he actually is with us in the everyday. As we eat and as we drink, isn't there scriptures about whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God? That's pretty mundane stuff, right? A couple, three times a day, we're going to figure out how to eat and how to drink. And somehow we can do that all to the glory of God. Jesus is mysterious. Jesus is the king. He is the boss. He is in charge. And somehow he moves from all of that into a place where he wants to travel with us, where he wants to help us follow in his way, in his life, in his truth. And I don't want you to miss that this Resurrection Sunday. I don't want you to miss that Jesus wants to come alongside you. Remember, he chased down these two men who were walking along the road perplexed. And today, Jesus wants to chase you down. Not to chase you down to haunt you, to chase you down to be your fellow companion, to walk alongside you on the way. You have trouble? He had trouble. Just read a couple pages before this when he got beaten and falsely accused and all that. If you have trouble, guess what? Jesus knows what that's like. You have heartbreak in your family? Guess what? His brothers and sisters didn't believe in him. You think that Jesus doesn't get what you got going on in your life? He gets it. That's why he left heaven and became a man to live with us, to walk with us. He chased us down from heaven to live with us and to be with us. And then he not only showed that he was a man by dying, because it's appointed to every man to die once, but he proclaimed his victory over humanity and his victory over death and over sin by raising back to life. Amen. That's what we celebrate today, is that this Jesus who wants to be your companion, wants to walk with you along the road, that Jesus wants to come alongside you today, and he wants to guide you in his way, in his truth, in his life. Would you pray with me? Jesus, wow, you're amazing. A God who was so far above us all, and yet you decided to come and be, as the song said, born as a helpless babe and walk in sandals on this planet, to be falsely accused, to be beaten, to be killed in an unjust trial. And that didn't knock you out. You came back to life. You resurrected. You are the all-powerful one. Thank you for demonstrating your love to us, that while we were still sinners, you died for us. And you didn't stay dead, but you rose back to life so that we could have life with you, that we could walk in your way, in your truth, and in your life. And today, as we, some of us are sitting here sorting through this, saying, man, I've known this for a long time, and I don't know, I'm just in a bad spot right now. Jesus, I pray that you would chase that person down. I pray that you would run up and bump into them on the road and come alongside them and say, hey, talk to me. Jesus, I pray that that person would be soft in their heart and would say, okay, Jesus, here's what's going on. Maybe there's some here today that have heard about Jesus and have kind of been, you know, pushing you off, Lord. I pray that today would be the day that they would say yes. As they wrestle with who you are and with what you've done in dying and raising back to life, that today might be the day of yes. Yes, I want to follow the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah. Today, Lord, as we celebrate you and as we learn from you, we're thankful that you chase us down, that you pursue us, and we're thankful that you give us your life. In your name we pray. Amen.